Robert will be back, so he's not going to have to worry.
Good. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Mem Beis. We're holding Mem Aleph Omid Beis, the last line of Yosi Oimer Yontif. What is Rabbi Yosi referring to? Let's go back to the Mishnah. Mishnah is higher up on the same Omud, on Mem Aleph Omid Beis. You see the last four lines. Rabbi Yosi Oimer Yontif Arisha Shel Chag Shechol Yois B'Shabbos. Now, what are you supposed to do when Yontif Rishon Shel Chag falls out on Shabbos? So the beginning of the Mishnah we learned, everybody brings their lulavim from Erev Shabbos, right? That was the beginning of the Mishnah. Go back to the top of the Mishnah. Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, Shechol Yosh B'Shabbos, Kol Ha'om Meilichres Lulaveim LeBeis HaKnesses, and LeMachros Mashkim Neboim Kol Echad V'Echad Makir Shaloi. So everybody's supposed to bring it on Friday afternoon and leave it in shul, and then the next day they're going to get their lulavim. However, said Rabbi Yosi,
on Shabbos,
they're going to get the lulavim on Shabbos, Shabbos morning. Because we are not knowing that that way. I'm sorry?
I thought we thought it was Nisan on Shabbos.
Okay, so Mir Tashem, we're going to talk about it. We're going to get to your issue shortly. But in the meantime, we learned in the Mishnah yesterday that when Yom Tov Rishon falls out on Shabbos, bring your lulav to shul on Erev Shabbos. Says Rabbi Yosi, last four lines. What happens if a person forgot? Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. V'shochach. He forgot that he was supposed to bring the lulav from Erev Shabbos. And now it's Shabbos Yom Tov morning, and he's proudly walking around with his Arba Minim out in the street, figuring, everybody's going to be so impressed. He's walking around, Arba Minim. Poises a lulav Rishus Arabim. And that's Osur, Surach Shabbos. There's no Erev. How could he carry? His potter says, Rabbi Yosi, he does not have to bring a korban chatos for this bubu, for this shogeg, the neshohitzioi bereshus, because after all, his intentions were pure, and it's what we call a toeh bedvar mitzvah. Toeh bedvar mitzvah means his mistake was in the performance of the mitzvah. Therefore, he's part. Now, bottom of the omer, omer abayim, on to mem beis omer aleph. Loishonu, when did Rabbi Yosi say as alocha l'shalo yotze boy that he was not previously yotze? In other words, he's carrying the arba minim to shul, but he wasn't yotze yet. Avayotze boy, however, if he was already yotze means he was already yotze the mitzvah of arba minim, then he's chayiv. What's the reason? Very simply, because he's no longer to'o bidvar mitzvah. He already performed the mitzvah. There are a lot of people, if they have their own private sukkahs next to their homes, so first thing in the morning, even before they go to shul, they go and take out the arba minim and they shakel lulav and esrog in their sukkah. So by the time the person is walking to shul, he had already been yoitza the mitzvah of arba minim. So Zokta Chabaya, even Rabbi Yosi would agree under those circumstances, he's no longer toyer bidvar mitzvah because he's already performed the mitzvah. This is a toyer post performance of the mitzvah. Since he's no longer performing any mitzvah, unfortunately he's going to be chayiv a korban chatos like anybody else that is over on Hilchos Shabbos b'shogeg. Frank Dimara, what are you distinguishing between he was yoitze and not yoitze? Isn't everybody automatically yotze as soon as they pick up the lulav and esrog? Hamid agbe nafik bay. Let's assume the person decided he's not going to go and shakel lulav and esrog at home or in his home sukkah, but he's going to go and shakel it in the sukkah of the shul or in shul itself, and therefore he's lo yotze bo. What do you mean lo yotze bo? As soon as he picks up the lulav and esrog and he walks to shul, isn't he already yotze with that nafik bay? Amr Abaye says Kishahafkhai. Abaye says basically like we do it nowadays. You remember we had a Toysis a few days ago. Since it's always a mitzvah that a person has to make a bracha over la'asiyos, and you make a bracha before you perform the mitzvah. So how do you perform the mitzvah of Arba Minim without having already performed the mitzvah? Just leaving it on the table or leaving it in its plastic or leaving the esrog inside the box. that is considered to be oiver di oiver. You're supposed to go and make the bracha oiver lasiyos. And remember, Tosfos said it's like when you make a bracha lohaniach tefillin. You can't make a bracha lohaniach tefillin when the tefillin is still in the tefillin boxes, still inside the tefillin bag. It has to be already that you have your tefillin on your arm and you're ready to go and make that tie to tie the tefillin to your hat. Now you go and say the bracha, laniach tefillin, and then immediately do the tie. So it's got to be right before. So over here too, says the Gemara, l'chayra, as soon as you picked it up, you're going to be yaitzah. Sabai says when you pick up the arba minim, pick them up upside down. But the way we do it, as you know, is we go and take the esrig and hold it upside down as long as we make the bracha, and as soon as the bracha is over, we turn it right side up. For some reason, Rashi says the hafka is not referring to the esrig, it's referring to the lulav. But it's the same concept, that instead of carrying it derech kedilosan, he holds it just the opposite, upside down. You see the Rashi in the fourth line? Hamid agbi nafik bay amr abayik shahavchai. Hachi kashale. Hey, chidam, ilo yotzen boy. How is Abayi saying? Your own Reb Yossi in the Mishnah only gives you a patur. When he wasn't yotze, holo yotzioi elam kein higbioi. There's no way of taking it out unless you pick up the lulav and esrig. You can't leave it at home and carry it at the same time. You have to carry it. Until now, you could have been talking about the esrig. However, now Rashi adds, "Vo agad lamala," the agad that's normally on the bottom. Your koishiko, in which you have your lulav hadasim and aravais, all of a sudden it's up in the heavens, it's upside down. You only yoytze the mitzvah if you're holding it the way it normally grows. Okay, so that's a very, very nice pshat of Abaya, basically like we do it, except turning over the esrig, you're turning over the lulav, but it's the same concept. Is remarkable. Rabbeinu Chananel, many of you almost missed it. Rabbeinu Chananel says another pshat in Kishahav Choy, not that he turned over the lulav or turned over the esrig, but he moved the esrig from the left hand to the right hand, and he moved the shlolish minim from the right hand to the left hand. That's the lokhoi, that's the hafkhoi that he took to the other side. Where do we have this?
In the 6th, 7th line of Rabbeinu Chananel.
Where's the left
figure? That's a good itiyad veselish. But you have Rabbeinu Chananel on the right hand margin in our Gemaras. Kishahafa chalula bismile, the esrig being many. Right? Yeah, it's so fine.
You're not holding it properly. You're not holding it properly.
He says
the Chazal say.
No, Chazal say. It says because they had one as bundled, it has you have three versus one. But let's just say you're not Yotze by putting it.
That's a bias there. The bias says that you're not Yotze. Now the question is, what's taka the halacha? So halacha, you're right. We don't pass in like this Rabbeinu Chananel, but the Rabbeinu Chananel is brought by the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura, and they say, b'diavad, if you forgot to go and switch it, you yotze. However, lechat chila, if after you are holding the lulav and esrig, somebody knows, hey, Yanko, don't you? You're so sorry. You're right. You switch this around. Lechat chila, you are supposed to go and switch, not make a new bracha, but you should go and reverse it and take the lulav in the right hand and the esrig in the left.
Mindy, how do you do? Your left hand.
Yeah, my left hand.
What's the purpose of doing this? Creating the opposite of turning it upside down for the bracha. The reason why we do this, we explained a few days ago. Okay. Unfortunately, you weren't there. Yeah, good. Every time you make a bracha, you're supposed to make a bracha before your mekayim in the mitzvah. If you're going to take up the lulav in one hand and the esrig in the other hand, and now you're going to start making the bracha, baruch atah, so you're too late. You already yotze the mitzvah. You're not making the bracha pre. So, okay, just leave it on the table. Baruch atah, and then pick it up. That's considered to be pre. In other words, oiv le'oiv, koidim le'koidim. Supposed to be ready to go and do it. As soon as the bracha is over, if you finish the last word, boom, you're mekayim the mitzvah. Here, you gotta pick it up. So therefore, what we do is we hold it already in the hand. This is Toysis Kasha, 3-4 Bladika. One of the four Eitzes that Toysis gives, which is the most popular Eitzes that the people have, is that you hold the lulav right side up, you take the lulav and hold it upside down, the lulav and the esrik, and as soon as you finish on the tilas lulav, immediately turn it over, and then you shuckle the two together.
I want to share that one of the other class terms was that you have a negative kibbutz, but it's not the yotzei.
That is correct. There are some that do it that way. In other words, even though we hold mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, Toysis says I have another eitzah that you should be have a hepach kavana. Hepach kavana means you're picking up the lulav and esrog, but before you pick them up, you say
Harani
mukham zumin, not to be yotze. I don't want to be yotze and picking them up unless I make the bracha. As soon as the bracha is over, then I want to be yotze. So she says that would also be another etzah.
So when did it switch from the lulav being turned upside down to the esrog being turned upside down?
I don't know that it was ever switched. Rashi gives the example of the lulav. The same thing should apply to the esrog. I don't know why Rashi gives the example.
Maybe it's shorter.
Maybe. The esrog was always shorter than the
lulav. Hit in the eye with the lulav.
Oh, that's why.
No one, guys.
Okay. Anyway, this is the teretz of Abai. Rav Omar, third line for the top. Afilu teima shaloy hafchay. There's another eitzah too that you can go and carry a lulav and esrog without being yotze the mitzvah, without turning it upside down. Hachmai, even going shoytziyoy b'kli. He was carrying the lulav and esrog inside a kli. In other words, similar to what we do nowadays as well. Most people do not hold their lulav and esrog in their hands when they're walking to shul. They're holding the lulav inside a lulav bag, usually these plastics, and you're holding the esrog inside a box, whether it's a silver box, a regular box, but you're holding it, what we call the kicha al yedei dover acher. You're not actually holding on to the lulav and esrog itself, and so therefore you're not yoitza. When will you be yoitza? When you dismantle it, when you take it out of the plastic, you take out the esrog and you put it together. So therefore the whole time that he's walking out in the street, he was not yoitza yet. And therefore, it's a Torah var mitzvah, and that's why Rabbi Yossi says in the Mishnah that will be part. Frank Timara, Rav is giving this teretz that he put inside a kli. But Rav who de Omar lekichai de davar acher shmo lekicha. We had this back in the Gemara a few days ago. What happens if a person holds on to his lulav, but he doesn't hold on to it with his hand? Between his hand and the lulav, there is a sudr, not to be confused with a siddur or a machzer. The sudr is a shawl, it's a handkerchief, it's a scarf, and he holds on to the lulav that way. The halacha is, says Rava, you're yotze, lekicha yidei dover acher, shmo lekicha yotze. So even though the person is holding it inside the kli, isn't this a lekicha al yidei dover acher? Everyone having me derech kavoid of derech bizoyin loy. And what means derech kavoid and derech bizoyin? So Rashi parallel to our Gemara derech kavoid ki going besuder shekoyrech yoda besuder kemor liel. That if you either go and put over this nice cloth over your hands or over the lulav and you're holding it that way, that's considered to be derech kavoid. However, if you're holding on to the lulav or esrog inside a kar, says Rashi, you're going the kar inside a plate. And therefore, you're not even really holding on to the lulav and esrog. You're holding it through this plate. That's considered to be derech bizoyin, and therefore you're not yotze that way. And that's what Rav is referring to.
So, in order to, is he saying that you carry a derech bizoyin, and therefore you're putter? Is that the how Rav is? The kinta of Rava of
Rabbi Yossi is not suggesting that a person should do.
No, I'm saying, but that's how he's explaining Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is saying that the person is carrying it out derech b'zayon.
What's the derech b'zayon? That it's inside a kli instead of holding it in his hand or holding it through the benefit of this sudur. Therefore, you're not yotze the mitzvah. I'm only going to be yotze the mitzvah when I come into shul and I'm going to remove it from the kli at that time. That being the case, I was not yotz in the mitzvah. I'm a to'o bidvar mitzvah. A to'o bidvar mitzvah is potter from having to bring a carbon chatas. Ravuna says, I'm going to extend Rabbi Yossi's halacha to the next halachic application, to the next case. And what is that case? Oyvis oishadim is ben agapai. Ukasavra chatas oifi. The achla is patur. What is this talking about? You're talking about in the Beis Hamikdash. You have to go and bring, a person brought an oivis oif and a chatas oif. As you know, an oivis oif, you're supposed to go and do the malika on the southeastern corner of the Mizbech. The Chatas Oif, you do the Malika on the southwestern corner of the Mizbech. That is standard procedure. If and when you bring an Oila Sa'oif and you do the Malika of the Oila Sa'oif, after you're finished, you're going to put the entire Oila Sa'oif on the Mizbech, except for the Korkabun. You take off a small where the stomach is, that you have to take out because it's nenem and akzela. Otherwise, everything goes on the mizbeach. Chatas oif after the malika is eaten by the kohen, and no portion of it goes on the mizbeach except a small little mitzvah hadap. Now Rashi tells us and reminds us of what we learned back in the Masechtas Zvachim. What happens if it was a very, very busy day in the Beis Hamikdash? Busy in the sense that many, many people were bringing a carbon oilasa oif. There was no room to do all of the malikas oilasa oif on the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach. Then on those occasions, the Kohanim would do it on the southwestern corner. It would still be different than the Chatas Oif, because the Chatas Oif is done lamata and the Oilas Oif is done lamala. It's also different between the Hazor and the Mitzui. Yes, Reuven Alaivi.
Oof. It's only a bird, or is it a chicken?
No, it cannot be a chicken. Thank you for asking the question. In fact, it says in the Torah it has to be either a tar or a benyona, which means either a pigeon or a turtle dove. Very, very small, little fowl that can fit in the palm of your hand. Very, very small. That's the only thing that is roy to be brought. Now, what happened over here was, the oilas oif was found bein agapayim. Rashi says agapayim means among the birds which had already been subject to malika. This particular kohen, he comes over to the pile of these birds without realizing that this was an oilas oif and not a chatas oif. It's a very, very simple mistake, because since the malika was done on that southwestern corner together with the regular chatas oif, he assumed that this is also chatas oif without realizing that it was brought here because there was no room on the other side. And what did he do? The ochlan, he ate it. Zoktach Ravuna, according to Rabbi Yossi, be potter. Why? Because he's Torah by mitzvah, just like we learned in our Mishnah, just like he's potter. And our Mishnah will be potter over there. Now, mind you, the Torah is a little bit different in the sense that our Mishnah is talking about a carbon chatas, and there it's talking about a carbon asham me'ilais. But the Gemara holds it, there's no difference. The point is that if the person was doing this l'shem mitzvah, why was he eating the carbon? It says in the pasuk, v'achlu oisamasha kupar behem. That part of the kapara of a person bringing a carbon is affected by the eating of the carbon. So this person, this kohen, innocently is trying to mekayim a mitzvah. See, so Torah b'dvar mitzvah. Yes, what's up to
you? And you make that mistake because in oil you have to do malika. Malika is
on the both oil is oif and chatzal oif. You do malika. Malika means from the back. Both chatzal oif and the oil is oif. There's a slight difference when you have to hit the mavdal, not mavdal, but 99% of it is all the same. So now the Gemara says, what do they say over here?
So where the chatzal requires that the head not be severed completely.
Correct. And that
the other does.
100%. But they're both done through malika. And you'll also see over there in the footnote that Rashi holds that you don't sever the head. All you do is the difference between chatas oif and oilas oif is whether you sever both pipes, which is both the kana and the veshet, or only one of the two. One of the two is sufficient by one of the two. Torah says by one of the two kabbonis, the lo yavdil, and the other one, it doesn't say the word lo yavdil, so therefore there's a difference, as you point out correctly. Some of our shemim learn that the malika has to be so extensive and intensive that the actual head comes off, while the others learn, no, the head remains, it's just he's severing both simanim, meaning both pipes, or only one pipe. According to that second shot, it's easy to, if you don't see the actual malika itself, you just see the dead bird, you really can't tell unless you start examining under a microscope whether both simanim or only one simon was. Sorry, once again?
The coin ate it right there on his
back. No, not in the zech. They took it down and they cooked it. They didn't eat it raw. It was cooked there in the azar. Amen. Anyway, so getting back to our case, we have the person made a mistake, an innocent mistake. Zokter Ravuna, Kutchab Yoisi Tobit Bar Mitzvah's part. Frankly, when Mike Kamash, what's the Chiddush? The Tobit Bar Mitzvah's part, the Hainu Hach. Now try to find every single possible case in the Torah throughout all the Tayyag Mitzvahs, every time a person is going to be Tobit Bar Mitzvah. What's the Chiddush? It's Chadavah Pashim. Zokter Mamadu, say, Mahasim Hu the Tobit Bar Mitzvah, Hotur, Hainu Diovan Mitzvah. In the case of our Mishnah, what happened after the person was Tobit Bar Mitzvah? He took the Lulav and Esrig out in the street, he carried it. That's an Aveira. What he did was wrong. It was done b'shogeg, he did it by mistake, he didn't do it on purpose. What happens after he got the shul? He went and shot the Lulav and Esrig. So therefore, although he started off on a bad leg by going and being Chas V'Shalom, being Oizan Aveira, but after that, he accomplished what he set out to do, to perform a mitzvah. So he was Toa Bidvar Mitzvah. Avahach, in the case of the eating of the Oida Sa'oid, the Toa Bidvar Mitzvah, the way of a mitzvah, after he finished eating the Oida Sa'oid, and he finds out it was an Oila, oh no, what did I do? I was Moil Behagdish. And he didn't accomplish anything, because the kapara only is effected if he eat a chatas oif, not if he eat an oilas oif. So therefore he hasn't performed any mitzvah, a maloi. I might think that the halacha of Rabbi Yossi is only in the case of Tobit Bar Mitzvah, the asa mitzvah, not in the case of Tobit Bar Mitzvah, the asa mitzvah, kamash malon, that even in such a case, Rabbi Yossi would hold, according to Rav Huna, that you're potter from bringing a korban, asham ilois, because his intentions were totally pure. Frank, you want to make sure, I'll ask you a question from a Raisa with the same Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, Oymer, Hashoichet es HaTomit, She'enoi Mevukar, Kihil Chosoi. And he ate it on Shabbos, Chayev Chatas. What does the Gemara mean to say? The Torah Tomit Acher. Person eats a shecht of the carbon tomit. Now the halacha is that when you go and shecht a carbon tomit, you have to have it inspected for 4 days before. And in fact, there was a special lishka called the Lishka Satloim, where you had, at any given time, 6 or 8 such little heimalach that were used every single day, to Tomei Shoshacha, Tomei Shoshacha, and there's a special din of bikur that you have to go and inspect them for the 4 days. And the reason why there is such halach is because we learned it from the Pesach Mitzrayim, that was also mechayiv, you had to go and take the carbon 4 days before, and inspect it every day to make sure that there was no muck. Anyway, this Kohen unfortunately was not careful, and he went and he took a carbon tomid, which was not mevukar kil chasai. Now, if we would do it just during the week, okay, so he made a bubu. Afterwards, the Oilam asked, hey, by the way, was this one of the inspected ones? Well, no, it wasn't inspected. It looks good to me. Toysi says, even if it turns out that it's a top, we inspect it right now from top to bottom and we see it totally, totally top. It's the Shkabal Momen Gansanish. But since they didn't do a bikur, it's a apostle of carbon and the Tzorach Tomer Achi. You got to bring a new carbon tomet. This is a apostle of carbon. Okay, so during the week, fine. See, so you lost $100 or $500, whatever the baby costs, and you made a mistake. But this happened on Shabbos. On Shabbos. You're not going to go on Shecht on Shabbos unless you're doing a Shechita Kehalacha on a carbon. But this was She'ein Mavukir Kilchosin. So it's a possible Shechita. So he made a bubu. He was over on Shabbos on one of the Lamates Malachas on Shochet. On the Netilas Mishama. So he's Chayev Achatas. It's Tzorach Tomer Acher. Now this person also innocently is bringing a carbon. He's Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah. The loy asa mitzvah. So without Rav Huna, I would say Nishver, Rav Yosi, The only time Rabbi Yossi says by the lulav that you have to be potter because afterwards he was awesome mitzvah, he took the arba mina. But over here he wasn't mekayim a mitzvah. For keretz, he just we wasted now a whole carbon tabit on Shabbos. We shechted it. He wasn't. You have to turn tabit on. He need a brand new one. So he didn't accomplish anything. So the chayra is a tabit by mitzvah. He also a mitzvah, and he should be chayav. So he tak is chayav. Yeah, but didn't Rav Huna say a moment ago in the case of the person who ate the oilus oiv by mistake and he was not mekayim a mitzvah, nevertheless he's potter because tovid var mitzvah lo yosem mitzvah, you're also potter. Shteitus do the price Rav Yossi himself says tovid var mitzvah lo yosem mitzvah, you're chayiv karm chatos. Amaleis Rav Huna says bami no dahid, this is kakash. It malo amr shmu bachatoi amr af luna saba amr af yizor bar ashir amr af huna amr af. It's talking about not that he went to the lishka of all the animals that normally are mavukar, and for some reason this animal was not mavukar, and he brought the animal without thinking, without realizing, he took it from a totally different lishka. In other words, what we would be called a case of a posheya. He's negligent. He is reckless. He didn't even go to normal lishka satloim. He went to another lishka. The other lishka, none of the animals are mevukarin.
Gross negligence.
Gross negligence. When would I allow for tovid var mitzvah according to Rav Huna, according to Rav Yossi? Tovid var mitzvah liyasa mitzvah. He's potter. At least he was in the realm of being mekayim the mitzvah. He made a mistake. It's not his fault. There are 100 of these oifis stacked one on top of the other on that southwest corner. He was convinced that they're all chatas oif without realizing it. Yeah, according to Tov, he should have checked more carefully to see that the two simanim, whether they were severed, not severed. He didn't check. Okay. Nishgeferlich in terms of his negligence. He wasn't really negligent. I mean, these things, people make mistakes. Here we're talking about a person who went to totally divalishka, so he had no business going there. He should go to the normalishka. This is called negligence, or gross negligence, and therefore he's chaybach. On the next mission, Dr. Mishnah Mekabelis Isha Miyad Beno Umiyad Balo Umachziro Solamayim Mishabos. Okay, now it's Shabbos once again, and we have the lulav. The lulav was used this morning. Let's assume they used it at home, and therefore they didn't have to carry it outside in the street. And now they want to put it back into the water so it should stay fresh. Says the Tanakhama of a Mishnah, you're allowed to put it back in the water on Shabbos. Not only are you allowed to put it back in the water, you're allowed to give it to the woman of the family. You're allowed to go and give it to the mommy, to the wife, to go and put back this loaf. Now what is the chiddush of our Mishnah? We have really a double chiddush. Chiddush number one is that even though it looks like, isn't that a problem of Zoreya and putting it into water? Isn't that problematic? So the Mishnah, there's no problem over here because the din of Zoreya, that means that you water your flowers, your plants, your produce, is only if it's mechubah lekarka, not if it's not mechubah lekarka. So you're going to tell me, well, maybe I should go and make some sort of gezeira, or to one or to the other. That in fact they did not make such a gezeira, and therefore there is no problem. That's going to be tomorrow. Oh, see here in the left hand margin, you have Rabbeinu Chananu, fourth line to the top. Don't think that there's some sort of gzeira. Just like you now let it go and water the plants, maybe I shouldn't put the lulav in. And the answer is no, you can put the lulav in, and there is no hashkoas zroim gzeira. And this is kepaskat la'alocha in Shulchan Aruch. Yes, you're allowed to put the lulav back in the water. However, it says in Shulchan Aruch, Ramah, that if you have a flower like a rose or like tulips or similar plants or those big nice ones which open up, lilies, those types that when you put into water they eventually get wider and ring and larger, like the rose, the petals will spread, so then there is a gzeira on those because that does look like it's growing. Last night all of the petals were closed. Now this morning I wake up and they all beautifully open. They were goyzer misham hashkoyes, right? But not by lulav. By lulav you don't have that problem. You never put the lulav in the water, and the next day you see that all the leaves start moving to the right, to the left. So it's not an issue. But the reason why our Mishnah specifically talks about Isha as opposed to the one that took the lulav and esek, let him put it back. Listen, the Kabbalah's Isha. The Gemara is going to go and tell you that it's telling us a chiddush that even though she is not mechuyeves in arba minim because it's a mitzvah say she has man grama, so gadai techamina, the woman should go and say, hey, you know, it's mutzah. I have no shaykhus to it. I have no chiyav. Kamash, no, even though she's not mechuyeves, but since vis-a-vis her husband is mechuyev or her children are mechuyev, then it is not considered to be mukta vis-a-vis. That's what we'll see more momentarily.
Does this also have to do with the Adasim and the Rabbas?
Yeah, we're talking about the Adasim. The Rabbas are attached to the Lulav, and you put the whole thing into the
same
book.
Not mukta for a man?
Not mukta for a man, too.
The Gugur and Shams? The
I'm glad that you're bringing up that issue. This man has said that we do not take the Lulav and Esfik on Shabbos. Yes, in fact, it is mukta. Here we're talking about Yom HaMahim, where they did take the Lulav on Shabbos. Like the previous Mishnah started off, Yom Tov Rishon Shechol Yois B'Shabbos, Kol Om Malich Leslul Aveim Basic Lesson, because they in fact did Shuk Lul Vesik on Shabbos.
Only in the Basic Mishnah.
We're going to talk about that in Mir Shem at the end of the daf, and tomorrow's daf we're going to have that discussion whether any of the Mishnah or even outside. From our Mishnah's Mashma, that not the Basic Mishnah, because if you go back to the Lashon of the Mishnah on Mem Aleph on the base, they brought the lulavim to their shul, and the next day, so you're going to go and tell me, well, maybe there was some sort of shul on the Harabais, but eventually we're going to learn in the Mishnah on the Amid Beis, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechol Yos B'Shabbos Molichen Es Lulavim LaHar Habayis. They took it, in fact, before Shabbos to the Harabais, Machazonin, the Kabbalah Mehen, and the Gizborim, the clerks, they went, and the Shemosim, they took the Lulavim, the Soidin Oysim, they put them away. So that's talking about Taka in the Beis Hamikdash, but the Chayri, yesterday's Mishnah, is talking about on a regular Shabbos and a regular Shul. It had nothing to do with the Beis Hamikdash. We're going to talk about this in the next couple of days. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda just amplifies on this heter of putting back the lulav in water. And we say the lulav in water means the lulav with the koshikol around it, with the adasim and arobis. A lot of people today go and take the adasim arobis and they put it in the refrigerator. And, or some people just leave it in the plastic, and the plastic does a fairly good job of holding it intact, at least for a couple of days. Usually by the end of Yom Tov, it's starting to get schwach. But in the good old days, they didn't have the plastic, they didn't have the refrigerators, and the way they used to do it is, they used to come take the lulav with adasim and rabbis towards the bottom and put the whole thing into a pail of water. And even the in the haim, a lot of the European Jews, many here in America, also used to go and do that years ago. But of course, after the advent of plastic refrigerators, then that became no longer the custom. So you're allowed to, even the women can put it back on Shabbos. If Yehuda goes and amplifies on this din of putting things back in the water, the Shabbos machzirin. On Shabbos you're allowed to put it back in the water that was there from before, but don't add water and don't change the water. Beyond this, which of course is a little bit more kuladik than Shabbos, moisif, and you're even allowed to add water. If you see that the water is kind of low, you can add water, but don't change. Ubamoyd chalamoyd. Not only can you go and add water, machlif, and you can even change the water. And in fact, it's an inyan, says Rashi, mitzvah lahachlif, because you want to that the hadasim arobis and the lulav should remain as fresh as possible. So that adds to the noy, the hindur of the lulav and the hadasim arobis. Finally, the Mishnah said, "Kotni yedele naneya." At what point, as we know, this hilchis chinuch? When it comes to chinuch, not all mitzvahs are created the same way. It really depends on the mitzvah and in terms of when you're mechanach the child. So the Mishnah tells us, when the katan is able to go and shake the lulav and esrig without poking it in somebody's eye, chas v'shalom, from that point on he becomes chayev, the lulav then is mechuyev, is a mitzvah of being mechanach the child as soon as he's able to go and shake the lulav and esrig, from that point on. Jok digmar, We start off the mission, you can give it to the wife, and the wife can go and put it into the pail. Pshita, of the chod of a poshet, why not? I would think that since she is petura from lulav and esrig, and by the way, even though among Ashkenazim, many of the women do shokel lulav and esrig, the mechaber vis-a-vis the svardim does not encourage the women to go and shokel lulav and esrig. Only by the Ashkenazim, the Rama says, our meaning is that the women do, even though they're potter, but they want to be mekayim the mitzvah, so they take it. But the mechaber, even svardim arayim b'zeh, many of them do not take, the women do not take lulav and esrig. So that being the case, so the mechaber say, mahoyu v'isha lav v'aschiyuvi, eimu l'tchaber. If vis-a-vis her, it's muktzah. I can't use it. Kamash Malan, no, that since vis-a-vis her husband, it's not muktzah, then it's not as Dari is always delighted to make a chefs and a gavra.
Since and the gaveret.
And the gaveret, yeah, not the gavra, not the gaveret. Since in this household, this chefza is not muktzah, because everybody among the menfolk are carrying it, and again, we're talking about David, in the times when they did take lulav and esrig on Shabbos, not today, when we don't. So therefore, even vis-a-vis the wife, she can also go and be mekabel and take it, and she doesn't have to worry about isra muktzah.
The
first
says,
yes.
Why she's muktzah, come on, going.
Okay.
She
can if she wants. Yeah. Good. Kani deilenaneir. Zokti Mars. Since we spoke about cotton, tarabat. Kani deilenaneir chayv lulav. As soon as he can go and shuck a lulav, asri, he's chayv. Whatever that age is. Since the Gemara doesn't tell us an age, presumably it's subjective. You can join us here, Reb Simcha. We got plenty of room here, Reb Simcha. This way you can help me out. This ate, as soon as he's able to go and put on his own clothing, as soon as he's able to go and be shomer tefillin. What means he's able to be shomer tefillin? So Rashi says, he's careful not to wear it if and when he has to relieve himself in the Beis HaKisei. Rashi elsewhere, when you have the same Gemara, says we're not talking about Beis HaKisei more in the Sechus Erchen. Rashi over there says, it's that shelo yafiach behem, that he's careful that he will not let out air down below. That's the type of cotton. Then from that point on, you can mechanach the child to go and start putting on tefillin. Yodei ledaber, once the child already begins to speak, then the father should go and teach him Torah v'krishma. Now, a child begins to speak already at the age of 1, 1 and a half, 2 years old, he's going to go and teach him shas. That should be the first pasuk that he learns. That's what he means. Learn the Torah, even though he's only a year, 2 years old, 3 years old. You should teach him Torah Tzivul Adam. Krishma Mahi. We don't mean the entire Krishma. Pasuk Rishon. You should go and teach Lishma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. How you dare Lishmar Gufoy Oichlin Al Gufoy Taharis Lishmar Es Yodav Oichlin Al Yodav Taharis. Until now, we spoke about mitzvah of being mechanech a child. Now we're talking about the effect of having a child around you, the gabi, a person who is careful to eat all of his food b'tahar, either because he's a kohen, he's eating truma, or a kohen who's eating their kodshim, or it could be even a Yisrael who's makbid always to eat chulav b'tahar. So you want to make sure that everything is taught. What happens if you have a child that's running around? If it's a yedea lishmar gufay, what means lishmar gufay? To make sure that his guf should not be kamtame from tumas maga or tumas masa, tumas oyel. So then oichlan al gufay. If a machel, if a food item touched his guf, then you can go and continue eating. Why? Because I know he's very careful. This yingle, he's only 8 years old, but he's been trained very, very well. As soon as he sees an avela or a dead chariot, he walks across the street to the other side. If he hears Chas Hashem, there's a levaya, he doesn't get anywhere near it. I don't want to become tummy. He's very, very careful. So therefore, if some piece of kugel went and touched his arm, his leg, or whatever, you can go and eat because you can assume that he was taught. Lishmar es yodav. If not only shem gufay, but he's also careful with his hands, he makes sure not to touch anything that might be metame his hands. Now Rashi points out, of course, that there's a din that stam yodayim shniyos, that all of our hands have a din of tumas yodayim, a din of a shenin tumah. But here what we mean to say is that after he washed his hands, for the next half hour, hour or 2 hours, he was constantly mindful and careful that his hands shouldn't go and touch things that they shouldn't touch. So then, if within that grace period his hands did touch an ochel, you don't have to say, oh, he was ashamed of the tumah. And if it happens to be a truma, then he's going to become a shlishi, he can't eat anymore. No, no. I know that this young ingel of 8 years old, 10 years old, is very careful always to wash his hands, and he's always careful after the washing of the hands to stay away from any tumah, so he can go and eat al yod of tahar. Hayideil lisho, which is a yochid svekei tumah, which is a ramen svekei tumah. This is the classic halacha that any time you find a something which is Sofi Tumma which is Sarabim, you assume that it's Tar. Sofi Tumma which is Yachid, Sveke Tomei. And the reason why this distinction is because, what's the reason, Barry?
From Sota, Venitma, Venitma.
Because we learn it from Sota. By Sota it says Venitma, Venitma, Venitma three times. And Sota, of course, is always Bechadri Chadorim. I don't know what's going on behind the closed door. If I would know, then there's no din of Sota. The whole din of Sota is because I don't know. So that's called a Rishus HaYachid. And the Sofik over there is Venitma, Sveke Tomei. But if it's out in the open, then Sveke Tar. So what we're saying is that what happens if there was a piece of food, and I find that piece of food right next to a dead sheretz, but it's not touching it, it's very close, and then I'm wondering, did one touch the other? And I go and ask passersby. I'm not involved. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm too busy. I can't get involved. And you have a little cotton who's 8 or 10 years old, and you ask him, he says, Ahmad, I saw very, very carefully, it didn't touch one another, it did what touch one another. The point is, he's a Yadei Lishol, he knows the halacha, and he would be able to tell you whether it did or whether it didn't touch the Dover Tamim. If he says, I'm not sure, yes, I was here, I'm not sure, then his statement is a statement of halachic significance, because he's a Yadei Lishol. So then it's just Yochid Sveikatam, and it's just Saddam and Sveikatam. How you dare Lifroy's Kapov? What happens if you have a child that knows how to dichen? And in fact, we see that he dichens in Shul. Chokin like Truma Beis HaGoran. So you're allowed to go and give him Truma when he comes to the Goran. We don't have to worry about that he's not a Kohen. He is a Kohen. I see that he always goes. So that sounds like until now we were talking about still a Kotter. However, Rashi says that what the Gemara means to say is that he's already a Goder. Because if it's a cotton, we don't allow him to go and do the we don't allow him to do nefilas kapayim. We don't allow him to do nesias kapayim. We don't allow him to dichen. We only allow a gadol to dichen. And therefore, even though this child knows how to dichen, however, since we don't allow him to dichen in public, we do not give him truma beis hagoyrin. Instead, we would go and mishagrim lehem libotehem. We're going to go and send any truma to his home, but he should not go and collect it in the goren. The reason for that is it's a bizoyan to go and give holy truma to a cotton, and for that matter a cherish shoytiv cotton. Rather, you go and send it to their home. Once he's yedei lifreis kapa, meaning he's already bar mitzvah, that everybody sees that he's bar mitzvah. I see him in shul that he's holds his hands up. Under such circumstances, the halacha is you can go and give him on the guard. I know you're going to say to yourself, but you know that in certain shuls they allow ketanim to go and lifreis kapa. So it's a, sorry,
it's a chinuch thing.
Avad is a chinuch thing, but it says by yedei lifreis kapa, you can go and give him truma. Does that mean that 11-year-old or 12-year-old that puts up his hands and he does the siyas kapayim, you're allowed to go and give him truma? Rashi says no. You got to wait until Hevish Day Saris. Says Rashi, last line on the Rashi, Hakol Yodim Shu Shevish Day Saris, She ain't cotton Paitis Kapov. You don't allow for a cotton. You're telling me that for Chinuch we do allow for a cotton. So the Mefarshim say that it's talking about if there are only Kitanim to be Paitis Kapov, that we don't allow it. But if there are Gedoylim that are going and are adults who are doing the Siyas Kapayim, you allow a cotton. That's Yodea Lifreis Kapov to go and join with his father or with the other Kehan, and not on his own. Let's fight back to the Amud Beis. Hayodea Lishchoy. If you have a child who is intelligent and he knows how to go and shecht, Oichem Shchitasa, you can even allow him. Really, you can allow him to shecht? He's a child. He's a cut. Amrefuda Mishigadol Oymer Al Gavav Dafka. If he's under the auspices, under the aegis of a Gadol who's standing there watching and seeing that he did a perfect job. Rashi says Ra'ash Leishaha V'Lei Doras. He wasn't over on Shehiya or Drisa. Shehiya means that he didn't extend this too long, and Drisa means that he didn't put any pressure on. If the cotton doesn't know how to do it, and the God Oymer Al-Gabav, that's not going to help. He's got to be Oymer Al-Gabav and see they did a good shit. Yachal Lechel Kazayis Dogon. What happens if the child is old enough that he's able to eat a kazayis of Dogon, of grain, any one of the five grains, says Rashi? Marchikim et Seyosim Memeirei Raglav Arba Amas. Then after that, if the child urinates or he defecates and he leaves out Miraglaim or Tzoya out in the street or in the floor or whatever, in other words, he was not properly diapered, and now you have the Tzoya or Miraglaim, then you have to go be Marchik Tal Ramas, and you cannot go and say a Dovah Shebektusha within that Tal Ramas, because that's considered to be already soya of an adult, even though he's only a child. But only if he can eat a kazayis dogon, a kazayis. If he can eat it quickly enough, chidus pras is a machloikis, exactly how long that is. It's like 4 minutes, 6 minutes, 8 minutes, whatever this man is, he eats the kazayis in that quick period of time. However, if this is a baby that eats over a long period of time and only eats that kazayis over half an hour, then then the small amount that he keeps on eating, tzibislech, he nibbles a little bit here, a little bit there, is not mitzarev, and therefore you don't have the full kazayis, and you do not have to be marchik, mitzoya, or mimeir aglav, harbabs. What happens if you have a gadol who eats slowly, and he ate a kazayis dogan, and after that he's moitzi soya, and he ate it slowly, he ate it over 20 minutes, a half an hour, and maybe he's not even able to eat it quickly, in other words, a zoken or a choyla or something like that, but he's over bar mitzvah, he's a gadol, so I would say, well, maybe that same din applies to the achidus pras. Says he more, no, the halacha still applies that it's a tzoyim me meraglayim, you have to be marchik arba amos. The chassidus says the pasuk Yosef, the Yosef das Yosef mach oiv. Yosef das, when a person has more maturity, more intelligence, Yosef machoiv, although machoiv normally means pains, koiv, Rashi here says machoiv masriach. As a person gets older, the stench becomes unfortunately attached to his tzoya, even if he's eating, he cannot eat more quickly. Yochel lecho, okay, this is the final halacha of all of these hilchos cotton. Yochel lecho k'zayis tzli, shoykh la'olav is a pesach. Back in the Sechtes Pesachim, we learned not too long ago that whoever organized the Karban Pesach for Erev Pesach had to go and make sure that you had menuyim. Menuyim means a registry. Pasuk says, ishlech achloi techoisu al haseh. And so therefore they would go and put together a registry, and everybody would either pay in advance or pledge to pay in advance that they're going to have a chedek in this carbon. You'd have a minuyim of 5, 10, 20, 50 people, whatever it is, for the carbon pesa. So says our Gemara, once the child is able to eat excisely, then you have to go and register him together with the adults. And if he's able to eat, put him down. But only if he can only eat a kazayis tzli. If, for instance, he can only eat a kazayis of basar mevushel, then there is no din of minuyim. Why? Because the karban pesach is tzli. It's the last toisis here in this perek. See, the last toisis right before Hadnalach. Yochel lechel kazayis tzli. Yeshi yochel lechel kazayis mevushel. Meini yochel lechel kazayis tzli. There are children that can eat a kazayis mevushel, but not tzli. Mashar mitzli lefisha dino shel pesach is dafke a tzli. Good. Getting back to our Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Achi Yochel Levarer Achila. Rabbi Yehuda says that which cotton has this din of Shoichter of the Pesach, it becomes Menuyim, if he can distinguish between food and non-food. What is that? Ketzat, Noisle Tzorar, if you give Marak. He knows that you don't put that in your mouth. A little baby, as you know, they'll put toys in their mouth, they'll put all types of objects in their mouth, and Chassid Shom, they can get a sakon. So if he's a little baby, he still takes the rock and he puts it in his mouth, mishnah. However, if he knows the rock, you got to throw away. The zorkai. And eggoys, if you give him a nut, the nut that he takes it, then he already has enough maturity that you would have to have him as part of the menuyim for the carb base. That's obviously a much, much younger age. And we start a brand new parak. Lulav Arava, Zok the Mishnah. Lulav Arava Shisha V'Shiva. Sometimes Lulav Arava is 6 days, and sometimes it's 7 days. We'll see in the Mishnah. Mishnah is going to explain each category momentarily. A Hallel v'hasimcha shmoin. We say Hallel, and not only we say Hallel, but Rashi says that we're goimer as the Hallel. We say the long Hallel, meaning we don't leave out the two pieces, the lelonu, etc. We say everything, we have them. So, shtei tuchdo, hafti. Says up to the Mishnah that Hallel and Simcha, Simcha is talking about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that is Shmoyna, that's 8 days. And, I'm sorry, not Simcha B'Sheva. The eating of the Korban Shlam is a mitzvah to go and bring Shalmi Simcha and to eat from those Shlamim. That din is V'Samachta V'Chagecha, that din applies throughout the 8 days when you eat Shalmi Simcha. Sukkah, V'Nisach HaMayim Yishiv. Sukkah, we only sit in the Sukkah for 7 days, not Shemini Atzeres. Nisach HaMayim that they poured on the Mizbeach, B'Shas, they brought the Korban Tomash Shachar, also only 7 days. Hechalil, Hechalil is the flute that was played. When did they play the Chalil? This is what I was referring to before, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Simchas Beis HaShoeva, as we know, is a Simcha that you have, especially in Eretz Yisrael, Yishalayim, but already now in Chutz La'aretz also many shuls of Simcha Beis HaShoeva. Beis HaShoeva literally means the place from which they were Shoev, that they went and drew the water. Why did they have a special drawing of water? For the Nisach HaMayim that we just spoke about. So since they did a lot of drawing of the Nisach HaMayim for the Beis Mikdash, so they made a Gantz Simcha. This is a one time a year sensation. You only have this mitzvah on Sukkot, you don't have it throughout the year. So that's that Simcha Beis Sheva. And later on we'll have a Masechta that Sheva can be Shoev. You can also not only draw water, but draw inspiration, draw Kedusha, draw closeness to Hashem as a result of the Simcha Beis Sheva. Okay, so anyway, so the Hechalil, that was one of the major musical instruments that was used. That was used on Chamisha v'Shisha. Okay, so we start again. Lulav, we said, is Lulav Arav v'Shisha v'Shiva. Lulav Shiva, normally Lulav is in of 7 days. Ketzah. Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, Shechol Yoyis B'Shabbos. Lulav Shiva. If Yom Tov Rishon of Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, again, this is talking about Vayomim Ha'aim, they had Lulav Shiva. Now this obviously Lulav Shiva, like I think David was pointing out before, this is referring to in the Beis HaMikdash. Because outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we don't take Lulav Min HaTorah 7 days, we only take it 1 day. So when they made the, when they instituted the halacha of taking it 7 days outside the Beis HaMikdash, then you don't bring it on Shabbos, you only take it the other days, as we'll see in another moment. Lulav is Shiva. That's when Shabbos falls out the first day. If Shabbos fell out any other day of the 7 days of Yom Tov, then Shisha, then you don't take the Lulav and Esrik. Why wouldn't you take Lulav and Esrik that day? Torah says, why is Yom Tov Rishon more miyuchas than the other days? In Beis Hamikdash, all 7 days are the same. So Rashi already asks this question, and Rashi says, Mefarish be Gemara, we'll see in Gemara why they distinguish between the first day and the other 6 days, since in the Beis HaMikdash all 7 days are Min HaTorah. That you will see shortly. Arava is the exact same principle. Arava was also taken 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash, Shiva, when Ketzad Yom HaShviyi Shel Arava Shechol Yoyis B'Shabbos. If Hoshana Rabba falls out on Shabbos, based on our modern day calendar, I don't think this is possible. I don't think Hoshana Rabba ever falls down on Shabbos. But at times of the Mishnah, this was possible. So if Hoshana Rabba, the seventh day, fell out on Shabbos, you still take the Arava that day. So it's just the opposite of Lulav. Lulav, if it first day of Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, we continue taking the Lulav, even though it's Shabbos, but not the other 6 days. Arava, if Hoshana Rabba falls out on Shabbos, we take the Arava on Shabbos, but not if Shabbos falls out on any of the other 6 days from 1 to 6, we do not take the Arava in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Again, we'll see mentioned in the Gemara. So Rabbi Shiva, Shakal Yom Shisha, if Arava, if Shabbos falls out on Hoshana Rabba, then it's 7 days. If it falls out on the other 6 days, then we will that day we're not going to have Arabis, and therefore it'll only be 6 days. Mitzvah Lulav Kesed. How in fact did they work this out with the Lulav? After all, if the first day falls out on Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry. Zok the Mishnah, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechol Yis B'Shabbos. It's the first day of Yom Tov Tefillah on Shabbos. But Dichles Lulavayim LaHar HaBayis. So, like we said before, this is not talking about taking it to Shul. Took the Har HaBayis in the base of English. When did you take it? From Erev Shabbos. V'Chazonim. When you ever see the word chazan in Chazal, it's not referring to like today, a chazan like Reb Simcha Weber, who davens so beautifully. We're talking about, or Reb Daniel, that now davens every single day. Ah, kibaldik. We're not talking that type of chazan, we're talking about the shamosim, the clerks, those that were in charge of all the ecclesiastical activities. The shamos of the shul, in the shamos of the harabais. And of course, there wasn't only one, there were numerous such shamosim. Mekabel mehen, they would go and accept the lulavim. A certain oisel gabi itzim when they put it out nicely on top of those platforms that were on the harabayas. Vazkein menicha the shalhem belishka. The elderly, however, didn't leave it out in the open. They would put it out. They would put it in a special chamber. And the reason for that is because, as we'll see the next morning, there was a lot of commotion, a lot of shtipping. No. There were thousands of people that came to the Beis Hamikdash. Sorry?
Melee.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the word melee.
Melee, fine. And because of that, there were a lot of people getting pushed and shoved, and, as you can imagine. So, as a result, the Zakenim didn't want to be the victims in that, so they put their lulavim away in a special chamber. And then the shamosim go and tell all the yidin that brought the lulavim that's right, and they said, Rabbeisa, call me shemagia lulavi liyodoi harihu loy bimatan. As we know, there's a famous halacha of lekachta melachem, and therefore, if it's a lulav hagozel or shaul, it's possible. Not that it's possible, but you cannot be mekayim the mitzvah. It's got to be yours. How will we mekayim that when a person comes to shul, he doesn't have a lulav and esrik, and he says, "I want to borrow someone." You can't lend him. What you can do is give it to mantana al manas lahasir. Give him a present, and then on the condition that he gives it back to you. Like we had on yesterday on the ship, right, with Rav Gamliel, Rav Shua, Rav Menazari, Rav Kiva, each one gave him a ton of amanas lahasir. So therefore, we make a yihirotzai, a rabbi shalom, and we say, Rabbi Isai, tomorrow morning, you're all going to come early, and you're hopefully all going to get your lulav and esrig. But what happens if one person makes a mistake and takes the wrong lulav and esrig? Go and give your lulav and esrig matana to anybody that mistakenly takes it. The mocha the next day, mashkimen, everybody gets up early, ilboy, and they come to the Beis Midrash. V'achazon and zorik and oisel lefneiam. There's a kohen, go and throw it. I don't know if they literally throw it or they present it and say, okay, cook, the boy said, come tonight, here, all the lulav and esrig. It's here on the istaba. And they were all chapping, after all, thousands of people, so everybody chapped his lulav and esrig. And as a result, unfortunately, makinish esriyehu, as you heard a moment ago, as the article call it,
a melee,
right? So it was a melee, and these Cain and Baruch Hashem were at the Lishka. They didn't have the problem. They saw that unfortunately it's a sakana. Iskina they made a special takana. Don't go and bring your love and esrogim anymore to shul for Shabbos. Rather take it at home, so you don't have to carry, and you don't have to worry about the sakana of the Beis Hamikdash. And ultimately, we'll see in the Gemara they've made a further takana that you don't take it at all on Shabbos, even at home, and not in shul, and not in Beis Hamikdash. But we haven't gotten to that. It should be either tomorrow or on Friday's Black Mitzvah. So, in the meantime, any questions? Hearing none, have a wonderful day. Rabbi Yisai Zayi, Gevend Zayi, Kizom Tzvulim.